Well, good morning again. As I was kind of thinking about this as we were reading, I kind of thought we should name this Sci-Fi Sunday. We have the dead being raised, and probably I think of it as a zombie, you know, coming out. And I think that Lazarus might have been the prototype for the zombies on TV. And then we have the dead bones, you know, like coming together. And that's always been kind of scary to me. You know, they say that they hear the noise, the clacking. Anyway, that's enough of that. Well, good morning again, as I said. And this story basically is a proclamation of God's love for us. Jesus' love for us. Even when he's not here with us in body, but with us certainly in spirit and in love. It is the same kind of love that is the foundation of the whole story of what Jesus does when he arrives. He initiates a travel plan with his disciples that he's going to go, but he's going to wait. I've always found that a little odd as well. But Thomas says, okay, well, let's go, and I'm going to go with you. We're going to all do this together. And so they head out, and they're ready to follow Jesus to the end. So this love kind of puts the whole story in context, as I've already said, from three standpoints. One is Martha, one is Mary, and one is Jesus. So now I got to just take a second and ask the question, what about Lazarus? He never speaks. Do zombies speak? I don't know. He never says, man, it was hot in there. Nor does he say, oh, thanks, Jesus. What would it have been like for Lazarus? He comes out when Jesus calls to him, but he is still bound in the burial cloth. Imagine what it must have been like for those witnesses. Like I said, I feel like I'm watching a zombie movie in my head as I read this. Unlike fictional zombies, Lazarus is rescued from the darkness of the tomb, and he is made whole. Jesus does the heavy work, but then he places the responsibility of unbinding him to the people gathered, to the community. As community, what are some things that we consider together? Sometimes we tend to doubt the power of Jesus. That is definitely demonstrated in the story. They're like, if you've been here, he's not dead, he's asleep. All these little things that say, well, maybe this didn't happen. And we tend sometimes to make things someone else's responsibility. If you'd just been here, Lord, he'd be okay. It's your fault, Jesus. And we tend to blame God for not being on our time. There's clock time, chronos, and there's God's time, kairos. And we want God to be on chronos, but God is on kairos. And we are called to wait for him and his time. We are called to wait on God, and golly, you know how hard that is to wait. We've done a lot of waiting in this place. Then, this is the part, you know, I've preached Lazarus before, I've read the story before, we all know the story. I think I said last week that Lazarus is probably the most well-known name of a Bible character in the world that's not churched. Oh, I know who Lazarus is. He's the one that was dead. But when I was reading it this time, something new, if I pay attention. And this thing that was new for me this time reading it and writing about it was the idea that I never thought about the fact that Jesus calls him out and he's standing there and Jesus says, do it, unbind him. Jesus could have had him come out unbound. He could have unbounded him, unbinded him. But he doesn't. He says to the community present, do it. This is your job. And he says to this community present, do it. This is your job to unbind those who are bound that you know in your life, or maybe some people that you don't know. We cannot shirk our responsibility as Christians. We have to do the, probably what I would say, the nasty work. I don't expect it was fun taking those grave clothes off. We are called to trust. Trust God in all that we say and do. So just a step in a little different place for a minute. We know this. We know that the Gospel of John is different from the Synoptic Gospels. We know that the Synoptic Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and that they all kind of tell the same stories. They have different parables, but they're all about all the miracles and everything that Jesus did and how he had people come to him and believe because of things that he did. John's gospel doesn't have any parables in it. John's gospel has I am statements. And there are seven, there are a bunch of I am statements in the Bible, but there's seven who I am statements that John uses to tell, preach, inform those that read his gospel who Jesus is and what he does and how important it is for us to accept the divinity of God in the context of Jesus' ministry. Just for the heck of it, I'll tell you the famous seven I ams in John. I am the bread of life. We've heard that so many times. But what does it really mean? If you don't eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, it's me that you need for survival. I am the bread. I am the one that will heal you, that will carry you, that will help you survive. I'm the light of the world. He will help us survive, but he'll also be the light for us to follow, to keep us from danger, to keep us from stumbling. I am the door. We know this one well, especially that famous painting where that Jesus is standing at the door and, you know, somebody on the other side and there's only a doorknob on one side, you know, implying that we have to open a door, and in some ways I guess that's appropriate. But don't forget this. This is something that is central to my belief, and I believe in what John's message is, and that is that Jesus is the one that seeks and finds us. Jesus is the one that opens that door. I'm the good shepherd. If you know me at all, you know how I love sheep, especially some sheep. This is the ultimate, the quintessential example of our relationship with Jesus and how he protects and cares for us and keeps us from danger. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. Jesus made this I am statement right before raising Lazarus from the dead. And we see that Jesus' teaching is not just empty talk. He doesn't just talk, he acts. And he is the one that holds the keys of death and the grave. In other words, it is only through Jesus, John writes, that we can find salvation. It is only through accepting Jesus as Christ that we can find salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is a statement of Christ's declaration, if you will, that he is the only way. Jesus proclaims truth in these I am statements, the last one being, I am the vine, the true vine. And that's one, this is my stole, is from that passage, that we are the fruit, but without Jesus' connection as the vine, we just won't make it. We have to depend completely on Jesus. Now that's a tall order. That's a tall order. One of the ways that we continue our relationship with Jesus and with God is through prayer. And I offered a suggestion, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, that during Lent you take the time out to write a prayer for yourself. Just a few lines maybe. Something that is yours, that speaks to Jesus as you. Not something that somebody else wrote or something that you see, but something that's central to who you are and what you need to continue to walk in faith. Sometimes we can't do that. Sometimes that prayer just doesn't come, and we always have the Lord's Prayer as backup, always. So if you say, I don't know what to pray for, pray the Lord's Prayer. The Holy Spirit will figure it out. There are parts of prayer, there are a lot of little catchy things. There's some, the 6 points, whatever. But one that you can remember that's kind of fun is the ACTS. A-C-T-S. Did I miss a letter? Anyway, I did, but I'll figure out what it is when I read them. Adoration, praising God. Confession, saying that we acknowledge our sins and that we're sorry. Thanksgiving, that we offer gratitude to God. And supplication, to humbly ask God for needs, both for oneself and for others. So it's four, these four fingers. I could never remember that. There's another one, too. So the sum of all this is there's so much rich stuff in this story, and I really went into preparing for today thinking, what in the world am I going to say that I haven't said or that someone hasn't heard? And there it was, community. So relevant to who we are and what we are doing in this place and the strength of this community and how important it is for us to care for one another, for us to be the one that takes the grave clothes off of someone who's suffering, off of someone who's hurting or who is lost. Sometimes we have to act as shepherd. Now, it's said that St. Francis probably didn't actually say that, but lore has it that he did, so we'll give Francis good credit. In all that we do, pray the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Amen.